visiting with us. We hope that you can come back and be with us tonight and every service that we have. It's always a joy to have visitors with us. Hope you're in a mood to continue to sing, because I'd like for us to sing God Is So Good. Would you please stand, everybody, and let's sing together. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Jesus is real. Jesus is real. Jesus is real. He's so real to me. He's everybody. He saved my soul and He made me whole. What will we do? I praise His name. I praise His name. I praise His name. He's so good to me. Thank you very much. Please be seated. Some of the saddest words in the Bible are found in Psalms 142 at verse 4. The Bible says, the psalmist writes, I looked on my right hand, and behold, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. No man, the psalmist said, cared for my soul. The word soul is found some 458 times in the Bible. The word spirit appears 505 times. And if you study both of these terms, theological anthropology is the study of the term both soul and spirit. God has said so much about us. And we ask this morning, who really cares for us? Let's listen to God. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. First of all, humility. Who? You? I? All. Humble ourselves under what? Under the mighty hand of God. When you look at the expression, the mighty hand of God, powerful. Powerful hand of God. Submit yourself to Him. Why? So you may be exalted. For in due time, He will exalt you. But look at that verse 7. Casting all of your care upon Him, for He careth for you. So we just take that up from that passage. The answer to our question, no man cares for my soul, the psalmist said. But God does. God cares about me. No wonder in John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, whosoever believeth in Him shall be able to live forever. For God sent His Son not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. God cares for your soul. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, does. God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yes, He did. Who cares? Christ. Who wants us to go to hell? Not Christ. Does He want anybody to be lost? No, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Holy Spirit. When we read in John 16, verse 13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but He shall say those things that God tells Him to say. And the Holy Spirit is concerned about you. But look at the angels. In Luke 15, and verse 10. There was one that was lost. There were 99 that were saved, but one was lost. They bring back the one that is lost. And the Bible says there is more rejoicing in heaven with the angels, but the individuals that are lost now are saved. But look at the apostles. When Peter was standing up in Acts chapter 2, he said to those people who had been guilty of crucifying the Son of God, the Bible tells us here that he said to them, therefore let the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. Peter, do you care for these people who actually killed Jesus? Yes. Why? Because he died for them. And when they said to Peter and the other apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They didn't hesitate to do it. Peter told them, repenting, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then they that gladly received His word were baptized. And the same day there were added in them about 3,000 souls. And then we find there were Christians in Acts 8 and verses 12 and 13. Philip had gone down and preached to these Samaritans. And the Bible says when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, they were baptized, both men and women. Even Simon was baptized. Who cares? Yes, though the psalmist speaks, I have no man that cares for me. Doesn't mean that nobody cares for you. You could get into that point in life where you think that nobody cares. Once you become a child of God, have you ever felt like nobody really cares whether I live or whether I die? Some have become so discouraged. If we could just put the people in this building today who at one time served God faithfully, now have given up, you wouldn't get them all in here. Why? Because they thought that no one cares, and they became weighted down with their burdens. So much is said in the Bible about burdens. For example, in Galatians 6 and verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. There are burdens that are to be shared with others. In this same book, chapter 6 and verse 5, every man shall bear his own burdens. What? There are some things that I can't bear for you. There are some things you can't bear for me. My daughter has had cerebral palsy all of her life. I would to God that I'd be able to share and take that burden and let her be able to walk without the difficulty that she's experienced for 40-something years. But that's a burden that she has to bear. Peter tells us, though, there are burdens that we got to get rid of. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. At Calvary, we can be uplifted, untied, unchained, because there's freedom in Jesus Christ. I found this on the internet, and I was impressed. Impressed with the fact that so many of us are carrying around like a little red wagon. I can remember when I was younger, can't you? Having that little red wagon, and how wonderful you thought it was. So many of us are like that, though, that have a wagon full of care. It's weighing us down. It's even filled up the wagon. And one of those things is worry, full of anxiety. What's going to happen? We are God's people. And God cares for us. Where is our trust? Where is our confidence? Listen to the wise men in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Put your confidence in Him, is what He's saying. And in the Hebrew letter, in Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For it said, He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Whom shall I fear? Boy, unload the wagon. Get all the cares out. Things that you don't have to carry. And put them on the Lord. Casting all your care upon the Lord. For He careth for you. Who? Well, every Christian. In Acts 11, verse 26, the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Boy, I was glad last night when Matt Taylor called me. And he said, Guy, he said, Zach has decided to be baptized. Zach and Hannah only got married, I don't know, several months ago. It was a cool night then. I remember that out there. But it was a beautiful ceremony. He wanted to be baptized last night. So, got here about 8:30 last night. We were sitting there. Matt took his confession. And it was quite interesting that someone had a camera and they took a picture of Zach and Matt Taylor up there in that baptistry. And last night, shortly after 8:30, we had somebody to be added to our family. A disciple now, brother, and I mentioned, he asked me to have a prayer for them, and I did. A disciple, a brother in Christ, Hannah wanted to make her life right, and she confessed her fault. Let me tell you, my friend, when the Bible tells us to do something, we need to do it. We need to do it then. It's to us, disciples. If we're Christians, this message is for us too. If you've been converted, if you've been acting like one who is a child of God, do you do all that you possibly can to help others to be come to the to Christ? There are so many times there are people in your family that you can have a whole lot of influence over. People where you work, and Jay was telling me not too long ago about studying almost every day with somebody. Oh, friend, let me tell you, it's a wonderful thing that people are sharing with others, because surely we don't want to be people that say, well, I'm saving, we don't care about anybody else. No, we do. If you know a person on their way to hell and will burn forever in eternity, if that's a mother or a brother or sister, whoever it may be, if Jesus died on the cross to save them, what are we doing to get them to the cross? Every disciple needs to make other disciples. In Matthew chapter 28, listen to the commission of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, Jesus said, all authority hath been given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. What did Jesus say? You go. You show that I care, that my Father cares, the Holy Spirit cares. Yes, the angels care. We are children of God. Unload the cares of this old world. But get busy and bring someone to Jesus Christ. What are we worried about anyway? Some are worried over financial problems. Maybe their job, they've lost it. Maybe they've come under a heavy burden now because of some sickness. It could be a marriage that is breaking up. And you're so concerned about your marriage or someone else's marriage. Could be children that have just said to you, I'm no longer interested in the gospel. I'm no longer interested in the church. I don't want to hear anymore. I'm going my way. I'm going to do it my way. Hold on. What are we going to do for them? Could be a dysfunctional relationship. at work with someone else. And the Bible tells us how to solve that. If you remember that there you have, someone has ought against you, Matthew 5, 22 and 23, go to them. And the Bible says, if someone has hurt you, and that's why you become discouraged, you go to them, Matthew 18, 15 through 17, and get it all right. What are we worried about? We want to be concerned only with God. Let God be the one that leads us. Let God take over, casting all your care upon Him. And then you get busy to get other people to do the same thing by being actively seeking to bring them to Christ. But when? When would we do this? Matt Burns preached a good sermon. Talked about the frogs. Remember in the Old Testament? And the Bible says, when Pharaoh was told those frogs would be lifted, he said, on tomorrow, one more day with the frogs? When will we cast all of our care upon Him and begin to bear the burden that we must carry, and we know that with God's help, we'll be able to be victorious in the end? Why? Well, the obvious answer is, we need Him. I love that song. I need Thee every hour. And we all do. God tells you why, because you can't make it by yourself. No wonder when we find in the Word of the Lord, the Bible says in Philippians 4 and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. We hear the Word of the Lord telling all of us as children of God for us to do all that we possibly can to bring happiness and joy. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Psalms 122 verse 1. Who was glad? I was, the psalmist. Why? Because there's help. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23, 24, and 25, the Bible tells us not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. No wonder He says that we're coming together to provoke one another unto love and good works. And I don't want to miss that. I need that. And so do you. Peter failed Jesus. Oh, he had told Christ, I'm ready to die for You, Lord. I'll bear any burden. There were many who had been following after Christ who left Him. In John chapter 6, Jesus looked at those people and then He asked His disciples this question, will you also go away? Peter saw it, said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and we are sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter, what do you really believe? Though we failed Him later, he came back because he knew who the Messiah was. David, a man after God's own heart. A king. A man that could have just about everything that he wanted. But he took another man's wife. He had a passion for someone that wasn't his. And even though he sinned and he found out who she was brought to David. And a man of God, he failed the Lord. He failed Him miserably. It took Nathan the prophet to come to get him to his senses. Nathan in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 through 5, told him about a rich man that had abundance of flocks. He takes a poor man's, just the one ewe lamb that he has. Has that ewe lamb killed, provided for the guest that had come to his house. David was a man of passion. He was a man of understanding. And David said, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, shall restore fourfold. And Nathan said, thou aren't the man. Boy, you've never heard better preaching than that. Thou aren't the man. And then Nathan explained to him. And David knew he'd failed God. He'd failed himself. He was miserable. What do you do when you get like that? You correct it. And David said, I have sinned against the Lord. You know what that means coming from a king? You know what that means to be humble? Friend, a king could have just about anything he wanted. But here was a king that had a heart that could be touched. And when he was told that he was guilty, he said, in Psalms 51, David is lamenting, my sin is ever before me. He could never forget it. He hurt whom? God. He had brought shame to God and to God's people because he had disgraced. Not only had he committed adultery with Bathsheba, but had killed her husband and Uriah the Hittite, or had him killed. He had failed God. But what did he do? He made it right with God. And God said, thou shalt not die. You will live. But you'll suffer the consequences of your sin the rest of your life. For you see, the sword will never leave your house. The woman was taking the very act of adultery and brought to Jesus. As a matter of fact, those that brought to Jesus this woman, they said, we are eyewitnesses of the sin that she's guilty of. And you remember how that Jesus knew why they'd brought her. And the Bible tells us, Jesus stoops down after he says to them, you that are without sin, cast the first stone. And Jesus stooped down and was just writing in the sand. Guess what happened? From the oldest to the youngest, every man walked out, didn't pick up a stone. And Jesus, when he raised up to the woman, he said, where's your accusers? And she said, there are none. She had failed the Lord. She knew it was hurtful. What she'd done was not right, but now then, Jesus with compassion upon her said, go and sin no more. How then can we just cast all the worldly worries that we have? The things that are so abominable in the sight of God, get rid of them? By casting our care upon Him. And come unto Jesus. In Matthew 11, verse 28, listen to what Jesus said. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Oh, He's calling out to all of us to come to Him. No wonder the Bible tells us that we're to share and do all that we can for others. There's no temptation taken us, but that is common to man. Paul makes that clear in 1 Corinthians 10:13. No wonder Jesus said, take no thought for your life. For what is your life? Matthew 6. And then Paul, when he's writing to the Philippians in Philippians 4 and verse 6, he says, be careful for nothing. And then finally he says, think on the things that are virtuous. Philippians 4 and verse 8. How about your little wagon? How about mine? Is it filled up? Probably be fuller tomorrow. If we don't do what Jesus said. What Peter, as inspired of the Scriptures, teaches. Casting all your care upon Him. Get rid of it, people at O'Neill. The things that you're having to carry. Get rid of it by meeting the conditions of pardon. And surely you'll know why so much is said in the Bible about God caring for us. You have somebody that's not a Christian. You know somebody that's not faithful. Are you? Are you one of those people this morning who've never obeyed the gospel? Who's never been baptized? Now, I want to tell you something right now. You won't find a single one of us trying to intimidate you, trying to push you. We'll do everything we can out of love and concern for you to tell you the truth, but you must make that decision. That decision is entirely up to you. When people ask, "What shall we do?" Peter said. Listen to this. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's your decision, and that's mine. You're a child of God, but you haven't lived faithfully in the service of the Lord. I can't do anything for you other than pray for you, which I will. The only one that can correct it between you and God is you. Remember David? David said, "I." He didn't say "we." He didn't blame somebody else. It doesn't do you any good to blame anybody else. Some may have had bad influence on you, but you made that decision. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Are you here this morning? Not a Christian or a child of God, but haven't lived faithfully. Isn't it wonderful to read what God says? If you're a child of His, casting all your care upon Him. For He answers the question, "No man ever cared for me." Yes. There is one who died for you. He cares. And everybody else who loves you and wants you to go to heaven. We hope this morning you'll make that decision, but it's up to you. Why not this morning come to Jesus and obey Him? Right now, while together we...